I'm going to sort of blow your mind with this news. It, it's kind of got me sort of levitating a bit.
Oh, yes.
The new rules of what's going to be coming up for the UK in Eurovision. Don't start now, but I really think this could be the one.
Yeah, very good. I like that. I like it. No, it's good.
Do you like the electricity we have together in this?
Yes. Yes. Do you know what? Well, throughout the entire of that, I kept on trying to think of Dua Lipa songs and I got none. I got none of them. I was like, come on. No, got
to be
nothing.
Fair, I did mention quite a lot there. And yes, those are Dua Lipa songs. We will reveal why. I've been going through Dua Lipa's back catalogue in just a moment. Coming up on Nolpois.
Nolpois is shameful.
Nolpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nolpois is no fun.
Well, howdy doody doody howdy. It is Nolpois. It's a Eurovision fan podcast hosted by two UK friends, some say. Myself, Martin.
Why did you sound so surprised at that?
It's just as what I've heard. Myself, Martin, and Laura Cress over there. And we are going to take you through some of the stuff that's happening in the world of Eurovision. Got trivia time a little bit later on, which brings you some crazy facts. And your correspondence as well. Going to get to all of that. Firstly, how are you, Cressy? What do you have to report from your many goings on?
I'm very good. I'm very tired. I have just got a lot going on at the moment. It's just basically moving of flats and all the sort of headaches that brings with changing energy companies and getting furniture in and sorting out dates and all that kind of thing. It might mean you might hear less of me than normal, but we'll see. Hopefully I should still be able to do something. I'm just going to put in my excuses now just for a moment.
Well, you've got those in. Whilst you've been moving house, I've been celebrity spotting in Derbyshire.
Oh, and you find any?
Yeah, I did. So I watched this show on Channel 5 called Traffic Cops, and it follows around, you'll never guess who, traffic cops.
Right. Oh, I see.
And
see
I was driving up the A6 up to a place called Matlock Bath yesterday, and a police car, a marked police car, comes screaming down the other way, blues and twos going, who's at the wheel? Well, it's one of the stars of Traffic Cops, isn't it? I wanted to sort of flag him down. Oi, Jason,
I don't think he would have liked
that.
Could
I have a selfie? You could arrest me, couldn't you? You could arrest me. Keep the handcuffs on. I didn't, though. He did seem in quite a rush trying to chase the criminals.
Right. So that's celebrity spotting in Derby, is it? Someone who appears in Traffic Cops.
Correct. That's all there is. I did see the guy off of Gogglebox once.
Which one?
You know, the Siddiqui family. They live in Derby.
Oh, okay.
They're on Gogglebox. Yeah, I saw them once. And Jack O'Connell off of Skins.
Yes.
In fact, I saw them all in the same place. I saw them all in a bar. Jack O'Connell was doing karaoke. It was a good night. Anyway, that's what I've been doing recently. What's been happening in the world of Eurovision? Well, there's a big old list that's been released.
Yes, indeed. We now have the 41, it is, countries joining Eurovision in Turin 2022. The EBU has named all the public broadcasters and therefore the countries that are going to be taking part next May in the contest. I think something to note is that Armenia is coming back, as is Montenegro. EBU has also said it's a special year for the Norwegian broadcaster NRK. They'll be celebrating the selection of their 60th Eurovision year during their Melody Grand Prix Grand Final. Yeah, so we've got 41 countries participating this year. It's all been named. UK, I will say, is one of them.
Yes, it is. No big surprises, I would say, in this list. Are there any surprises of countries that aren't on it?
Ooh, that is a good question. Well, I suppose it isn't a surprise that Belarus aren't in there because of the fact that they were booted out by the EBU, or at least the broadcaster was, and stripped of their membership. But I don't think that's a surprise because we knew that was happening. There's two extra because there were 39 countries in 2021. There's two more that have who participated, obviously 26 in the grand final, but 39 who participated in the entire contest. So we've actually got two more this year.
It's like playing that game, isn't it, where you have a tray of stuff and you have to remember everything on the tray, and then you cover over the tray and then you remove something and then you uncover it again and you have to say what's gone and you can never do it.
Yes. Well, like I said, I don't think anyone has gone. I think there's, if anything, there's someone has covered up the tray and added two more people. Two more things.
that's the worst game ever.
Yeah, you'd be like, wait cheating. A minute, there's more of these things.
If you've got thoughts, as always, on that list or, to be honest, anything else that we're going to end up talking about in the podcast today, do let us know. And the details of how to get in touch at the end of the podcast. Right now, I've got new rules, I count them. I've got new rules, I count them. I'm singing a hit song there by world international chart-topping singer Dua Lipa, who has been associated with Eurovision. And if you don't know the news story I'm talking about, you might be going, oh my word, Dua Lipa's going to be in Eurovision.
No, probably almost definitely not. No, basically, this is the news that for the UK's entry for 2022, Dua Lipa's team will choose the entry. So this isn't that Dua Lipa's going to be taking part, but her team, who's behind her and also behind Lana Del Rey, they also look after Ellie Goulding, so quite a couple of big female artists, they are going to be taking over. It does mean that the record label BMG, they're no longer going to be involved in selecting the UK's entry. They were involved, obviously, with the James Newman, and we all know what happened there.
Yeah, I know what BMG stands for now based on that. Boring, monotone, garbage.
Very good.
I would say. So we've got Tap Management instead, yes, who definitely sound like they don't work in a big corporate office where they all sit around thinking big thoughts and making big decisions. Yeah, guys, I'm saying that we really should call the brand like Tap Management because we really want to just tap into the talent that really exists. We need some blue sky thinking to come up with a great Eurovision song that will really resonate across the whole continent.
Oof, you bored me to tears there, so well done.
Thank you. Well, I imagine that's what they might do. They've got some Dua Lipa, massive artist, Lana Del Rey, really successful, Ellie Goulding, of course, as well. All of these are really, really big names. They certainly know what they're doing when it comes to pop music. Will they know what they're doing when it comes to Eurovision? I suppose the bigger question is, this, although, okay, there's a new team working on it, it's still the same idea, right? It's still the BBC going, we don't really know what to do here. We're not going to give the public a choice, by the looks of things.
No, doesn't sound like that's happening, no.
Instead, we're going to contract it out to these people. You know about pop. Why don't you go and give us a name of somebody who's going to represent us? I mean, I've said this before. We've discussed this before. I don't think that that is the way to do it. I think you need to get the public on side. You need to get the public behind the act. And the way to do that is through a televised contest. You just need to do a good televised contest. I don't think I like this plan.
No, I mean, they talk the talk. The one thing they said, I was like, maybe this means they kind of get it a little bit. They said, our conclusion was Eurovision is not as political as people think. I think we should focus on getting some really special music and a special artist that represents Britain in the best possible way. We don't want to see Eurovision as a boom or bust night for the artists. We want to see this as a platform for development for a career. We don't know yet if there'll be a new artist, but if they are, we want to make sure this is going to be a really positive experience. So, I mean, those are just words, whether that will actually amount to anything. That was like, well, you know, that they kind of seem to get that it's not just like throw someone in and then just like, you know, it doesn't really matter what they do. They kind of want to help whoever it is get involved. I agree, perhaps it should be, you know, the public should have more say in this, but then the public has had say in it for quite some time, and also it's not really helped. Maybe it needs to be both, really, and it'd be a bigger event than one night, as we've seen with other countries who do these big semi-finals and then a final and then a last chance and all this kind of thing. I'm glad they've gotten rid of BFG because it just clearly wasn't working out. So that's something. They have done something. We can at least say that. They're not just going, well,
they've taken a decision, but the decision feels just to pass the buck to somebody else.
Some comments online, people have been saying, well, it sounds like they're getting more involved in this already as opposed to BMG, where they were like talking about this in March. So that's a plus. It's, you know, they're actually looking into this a lot earlier on, whether that's, you know, obviously behind the scenes, they may well have been doing it before March. We just don't know. I'm not ready to condemn this approach yet, but they're really going to have to pull the socks up. They really, really are. Otherwise, they're really going to have a big rethink about what's going on here.
Yeah. I suppose I should be more open-minded. I have kind of closed it down before. I've given them a chance. That probably isn't right of me. I will wait and see what the song sounds like before I completely say it's a terrible idea. It just doesn't feel like a novel approach. It doesn't feel like we're really going to do something different this time. It feels like a tweak rather than a complete change. Mm. I think a complete change is needed. So does Paddy O'Connell. And this brings us on to something I was reading the other day in, I think this was in the Telegraph newspaper, talking about the BBC and it choosing the entry and how it does it. And Paddy O'Connell is an interesting voice in this, because not only is Paddy O'Connell a BBC presenter himself, he's also a very well-known voice when it comes to the Eurovision Song Contest. He's presented a lot of the BBC 4 coverage of the semi-finals many times before. He is one of the go-to people when you talk about Eurovision. You will get him on and he will talk about it. This is a voice to be listened to, and here he is, a very well-known BBC personality, saying, I reckon we should give it to the commercial rivals ITV, because they might have a better chance of trying to get somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's kind of saying what we sort of already know, and that the BBC, you know, they've made some issue, they've made some mistakes. The stuff they've sent hasn't been up to scratch. He says the contest isn't broken, but Britain's relationship with it is. It's really become the Eurovision commentary contest for us. Very cutting there. He says, like, Terry Wogan, Graham Norton's turned the show into a joke with their sarcastic commentary. I think a lot of Eurovision fans would kind of agree with that, some of that anyway. I don't think Graham is quite as, it's turned around a bit with Graham a little bit, but there is that still that everyone's like, oh, what's Graham gonna say about the axe? But I think that is fine to an extent. I don't have an issue with Graham, you know, having a bit of fun with the axe and you know, doing that. I don't have an issue with that, and I think he does it in a slightly more composed way than Terry. Not that, I mean, I have too much of an issue with what Terry did. He was of that time, and now we've moved on to trying to embrace it a bit more, but also have a bit of a joke. I think that's fine. His comments were quite blunt, let's say.
Yeah, they definitely were. I have to say, a lot of them I agree with. I think, like you, I am not as critical of the commentators as he is, suggesting really that they are the reason that people tune in and people just want to hear what the sarcastic comments that Graham Norton's going to have. I actually don't think, like you suggest, that Graham Norton is anywhere near as cutting as Terry Wogan used to be.
No.
And even if he was, I think there's room for that. I think you do it from a place of love. Terry Wogan certainly did it from a place of love. I think Graham Norton does as well. We can laugh along with and enjoy the silliness of Eurovision whilst also enjoying it and embracing it and loving it. I think those two things do sit alongside each other together. I mean, it's what we do on this podcast and try and do, you know?
It's, yeah, exactly.
Totally fine. However, does the BBC need to pull its finger out, as the kind of overarching comment is and what we've really been talking about for the last few minutes? Yes. Does that mean we should take it away from the BBC and give it to ITV? Well, I would say no, but
I don't see how they could do. I mean, don't forget that ITV hosted Junior Eurovision. I know this is a different prospect because it's, you know, far fewer people are going to be watching Junior Eurovision. They broadcast it anyway. They didn't host it, but they broadcast it and dumped it immediately when there was a sign of it not doing well, rather than developing it. So I don't know if they would be the right way to go. I mean, I would also say Paddy makes a mention of saying, we've done so much to portray it as a land of people who hate us, talking about Europe there, and yet the songs that we send don't make it into our charts. Well, Paddy, that's a load of bollocks, because Embers did.
Yeah,
so,
it did.
It did. The issue with Embers, I think, was less the song and much more the staging of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the song, okay, I never expected it to make it into the top 10, but I think with some tweaks, it could have definitely done a lot better than it did. And I think it getting into the top 40 and onto lots of things like Love Island, like we mentioned, shows that it did have potential.
Enough talking of the past now, though. Trivia time coming up in just a second, by the way, while I'll be talking about the past. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the future, and the future of the winners of, and the reason that the song contest is being held in Turin in 2022, Måneskin. And we do like to follow the winner and what they do after winning the Eurovision Song Contest. We did it with Darthy okay, admittedly, he didn't win, but he was the sort of the big takeaway moment from there. Yeah. We did that in 2020 with Dorothy. We're continuing to do it with Måneskin. And last time, or maybe the time before that, can't remember, we talked to you about the brand new single from the Italian band. It's called Mamma Mia. And I was moaning that there was no video, but there now is.
There is indeed, and it's done with their sort of typical style, really. Their typical off-the-cuff kind of we-don't-give-a-beep style. And Måneskin, yeah, so basically this one is quite a funny video, actually. I like the premise, where basically the band members Victoria Thomas and Ethan all fantasize about killing the frontman Damiano, and basically it's their fantasies of killing him.
Lovely, lovely. And they really go to town with it. There's a lot of blood.
They do! So, like, one of them pushes his head into a toilet. Victoria sort of like stabs him, and yeah, it's all good fun, really. It's not gory or in any way, or it's all sort of staged and stuff. You don't really see anything, so it's all done with a bit of, like, you know, fun. But it's a fun video of theirs, and I think it adds a bit to the song, because the song I was kind of saying I prefer some of their previous stuff, but this adds a bit more to it, and again, just shows that they're just up for having a laugh, really. And it's nice to see that it has come out, because we were talking about it hadn't come out when the song came out, which is unusual sometimes for this sort of thing. But yeah, no, it's a nice video. I enjoyed it.
It is good fun. It also plays to their anarchic, trying to portray themselves as this anarchic band, something very kind of punk Sex Pistols-esque about them, I would say. With the whole kind of everything's a little bit crazy and there's chaos that always ensues wherever they go. And I really like that. I like how that kind of feeds into everything. Not only do you hear it in the music, you see it in the videos. It's in the way they dress and the way they style themselves. They know what they're doing. They definitely know their target audience as well. And I imagine not the last you're going to be hearing from Måneskin in the next little while. Righty-o, and moving on, are you ready for something exciting, Cress, that's going to come your way?
Yes, always.
In Trivia Time!
Yes, indeed, Trivia Time. Once again, we're going back to the past, and it's Martin's turn this time, and this is, of course, where we delve into Eurovision's past. We look at the couple nuggets of trivia and bring them up to you and just tell you a bit about some of the weird and wonderful things that have gone on in the song contest.
And what I thought I'd do, and this carries on, really, from our discussion about Dua Lipa, who is not going to be representing the UK, but her management team is getting involved. But I've been thinking all this week, well, why can't we just have Dua Lipa? That would be great. Why can't we have Dua Lipa representatives? So I thought, actually, how many massive stars have represented their country in Eurovision's gone by? Is this a thing for unknown acts? Or is there precedent for having massive names taking part in the competition? And I thought, I vaguely remember Andrew Lloyd Webber was involved with something at some point, wasn't he? A few years ago, he like played the piano in the corner while somebody sang. I thought, that's getting close, but come on, we want big name headliners being involved in Eurovision songs. And I've looked back into the archives, and here are some of them. But the question I need to ask you, Cress, and you can make a decision on this, were these people big names before Eurovision, or did they go on to be big names as a result of their appearance in the Eurovision Song Contest? Okay. So, for example, going back to 1988, Celine Dion, of course, won when she represented Switzerland. A massive name, but was she a big name before Eurovision or after it?
Right, and how are we judging if they're a big name or not? Just...
Well, we're just making it up. In your opinion, was she a big star before or after?
I would say after. I think she was quite... This was quite early on with Celine Dion.
Yeah, I would say so as well. Let's move
Titanic
on.
Because Titanic, and when she was huge, was that was like mid-90s.
Like 10 Late years 90s. Later, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Celine Dion.
Oh, do we not find out? Sorry.
No, I haven't done that research. Let's move...
What? So, like, I'm just saying random stuff just and you're going, probably, I think that.
Yeah, that's it. That's the feature. Let's move on to Michael Ball, 1992. Finished second, did old Michael, with One Step Out of Time. I think Michael Ball was a pretty big name in 92.
Well, does it, like, this is all just subjective and we're just going, yeah, I guess he was. Anyway,
yes,
move on.
Yes, it's just your thoughts on whether Michael Ball was a big name or not in 1992.
This is the stupidest feature I've ever heard. I disagree. I, 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 I disagree with you, actually, Martin.
Okay. Olivia Newton-John represent.
What a stupid feature. I actually was genuinely like, well, are we going to be like, oh, Celine Dion didn't have her album out until like the 90s, so probably we would say she was a bigger star after than before. But no, we're just going, nice, I think this. Anyway, move on.
Olivia Newton-John was taking part in 1974. Absolutely. Now, I think this is quite an interesting thing. I didn't know Olivia Newton-John was in the Eurovision Song Contest, and because it was 1974, where the whole thing was just overshadowed by ABBA, but she finished fourth, did old Olivia.
She did very well. I think she had a good chance were it not for ABBA. Some people say that the Brits didn't vote for ABBA because they, you know, were hoping that Olivia Newton-John... I don't know, there's a whole thing about that, but I mean, it's a load of rubbish.
I can tell you the answer to this one. Was she famous in 1974? Greece came out in 1978. So, No, she wasn't. She was, there's another for Olivia.
Well, I mean, she did other things before that, but yeah.
Very quickly, I'm going to give you the people that could have represented their country if only. These are the could-have-beens. This is who you could have had. What you could have won. In 1973, Enya could have represented her country, Ireland, I think. She was part of a group called Clannad.
You think? Yeah. You think or you know? Come on, which
no,
is this?
I
what,
do know.
What
it's
is
Ireland.
This trivia time?
It's Ireland! But she wasn't chosen that year, so no Enya. You could have had Justin Hawkins from the Darkness.
From the Darkness.
In 2007. He only finished fourth in qualifying.
Oh, mate.
Fourth, Justin Hawkins.
That's rough.
You also could have had supermodel Jordan, a.k.a. Katie Price, who in 2005 finished second qualifying to represent the UK, but didn't quite do it. Thank goodness for that. Who beat Justin Hawkins, by the way, who represented the UK in 2007?
Oh, that is a good question.
I'll give you a clue.
Scooch, flying the flag.
Scooch. We went with Scooch rather than Justin Hawkins.
I mean, good choice. Well done. Bloody love flying the flag.
There you go. A very under-researched trivia time.
I mean, just get your comments in now for Correction Corner, because my God, that was really awful. Anyway, if you do want to send us any complaints about that feature, I don't blame you.
Easy on the complaints.
No, send them in. I'd complain if I were you. Address it to Martin. And this is how you could do it. There's loads of ways. We are on Instagram at Nullpoir Podcast on Instagram. Thank you very much once again to Emma Schmemmer, who has clarified, yes, she is indeed an Aussie admirer and was trying to message us before about Martin having a rant about hating cats.
Of course, yes. It's been lovely hearing from Emma, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it was lovely. Thank you so much for Emma saying, thanks for keeping me updated and informed in the lead up to the next Eurovision. Love that you've made a yearly event into a weekly podcast. Bless you, Emma. We tried.
Don't know how we've done it.
We don't know how we've done it.
Scored the school of clutching at straws.
I will say, whenever I make this sound as if I go on dates all the time, but when I have gone on dates and I do happen to mention I do a Eurovision podcast, and they're like, oh, how often do you do it? Is it like once a month? And it's like, no, it's weekly. It's once a week. And they're like, what? How is there so much to say? And I try and justify it by being like, well, you know, they're normally only 20 minutes long. And they're like, yeah, but even so, like, and I'm like, I can feel the date slipping away from me then. Like,
yeah,
no!
Yeah. I had someone stand me up on a date a couple of days ago.
Sorry, that wasn't me. Sorry, that wasn't me shocked at that, but that I just coughed.
Yeah, you don't need to be. I'm going to read you out the text, right? And I want you to decide whether this is a genuine excuse or whether this person is just sacking me off.
Okay. I mean, I already know the answer, but go on.
Hey, I'm really sorry, but I've been asked to work last minute as they are desperate. Can we rain check?
Oh.
Genuine response, genuine excuse, or leading me, you know.
Well, it's difficult because I don't know what this person does, so.
She's BA cabin crew.
Okay. I have no idea if that would be a thing that would. What I don't like is the whole rain check.
2 hours notice as well. Oh. 2 hours notice. And the other thing that makes me think it's a load of bollocks is that she doesn't even say, like, suggest another time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The rain check thing, then you need to follow up with a, oh, I'm so sorry, maybe we could do next week, maybe we could do this. Mm. So have you heard from her since? What's happened?
No, I haven't heard from her since.
No, so it's sorry. Biased.
Also, who calls somebody in to, like, cabin crew a plane at the last second?
I don't know. Like, they're all short-staffed at the moment, so that could be a possibility. But if she's not, then set up another thing since then. But also, why leave it till 2 hours before? Like, if you're not feeling it, like, do, like, just...
Exactly.
You need to have done that before. But, well, I'm sorry to hear that, Martin. Let us know. Do get in touch, everybody. Was that a genuine response, or was she just letting Martin down quite brutally? You can let us know on Instagram. Tweet us as well. We're Twitter at Poitnull. We're also on... we also have an email if you want to send us an email. Big long thing. Did you watch Monoskin's video? What do you think about it? What do you think about Dua Lipa's team choosing the UK entry? Should Eurovision go to ITV? Loads of questions we want to have your answers to. Send us an email, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. And can I just give a quick shout out as well to Andre and Arthur, who I met on Wednesday, who listened to the podcast and love it. So thank you very much for listening, guys. And keep listening. Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, please do. Thank you very much. And see you again on the next edition of Nopoir. I really hope she doesn't listen to this podcast.
I was going to say that. Well, you know she's into you if she does.